Welcome to the Pulitzer Rhode Island podcast, a companion to the collaborative series of programs titled, What is the 21st Century Essay? This series is facilitated by the Rhode Island Council for the Humanities to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Pulitzer Prizes in 2016. By asking, what is the 21st century essay, we aim to explore the changing nature of journalism and the humanities in the digital age, and how writers, scholars, journalists, artists, and others are adapting, shaping, and innovating. The series thematically focuses on environmental issues because of their urgency and relevance to our health, communities, and economy. This podcast will feature journalists, scholars, practitioners, and Rhode Island community members joining us to explore the intersections of journalism, the humanities, and the environment. Please visit rihumanities.org/Pulitzer for more information. Hello, and welcome to the Pulitzer in Rhode Island podcast. I'm Elizabeth Francis, the Executive Director of the Rhode Island Council for the Humanities. Our guest today is Sarah Schweitzer, feature writer for the Boston Globe and a Pulitzer finalist in feature writing in 2015 for her story, Chasing Bela. Thank you for talking with us today, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted. Sarah was a keynote speaker for the Essay in Public Conference in Rhode Island on March 18th. The Essay in Public Conference was organized by Martha Elena Rojas from the University of Rhode Island, Wendy S. Walters from the New School, and Patricia Ibarra from Brown University. The Essay in Public Conference was the first event in the collaborative Pulitzer series, What is a 21st Century Essay? So, Sarah, again, we're so happy to be able to talk with you about your story, about your journalism, about your perspective on things, and also to follow up on the wonderful talk that you gave at the Essay in Public Conference. So I thought we'd begin by asking you to just say a little bit about the keynote talk that you gave at the conference, where you talked about the process of writing Chasing Bela.
Sure. So Chasing Bela was a story about a whale scientist who had devoted much of his career to saving the endangered North Atlantic right whale, which in particular was suffering and still does from entanglement in ropes from fishermen and lines that are used to catch lobsters and other assorted creatures from the sea. And his name was Michael Moore. And my reporting started in 2014 when on a lark, I happened to call the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and just ask if they had anything interesting going on. And it turned out that they said, you might want to talk with Michael Moore. And from there, the story went. He's a really dedicated, amazing man, and he quickly, in my mind, became a character in the story. And from there, spending time with him, learning about the right whales, I began to realize that there was one whale in particular that had completely broken his heart, and her name was Bela. She was a two-year-old whale who had succumbed into ropes after he had gone through heroic efforts to try to save her along with a team. And the story ended up being an entwining, really, of the lives of both Bela and Michael Moore. And it was possible because Michael Moore was a scientist who had lived his entire life writing academic papers and steeping himself in the world of academia, only to realize that the broader message wasn't reaching the people that he wanted to get to, which was the public. And the public had the power to press for policy changes that might, in fact, save the whales. And Bela's story was possible because the New England Aquarium studies in great detail these whales. And there are incredibly dedicated scientists there that have devoted their lives basically to figuring out how and if it's possible to save this incredibly dwindled population. And Bela happened to be one of the whales that they have documented, and they knew details going down to when she was born and who her mother was and the day her flipper appeared to have a rope scar. And because of their meticulous record keeping and their generosity, I was able to then build a story around Bela's life as well.
That's so it's such a compelling story, and the way that you told it is equally compelling. And I wanted to just go a little bit deeper into this question of the relationship between policy, such as policy around environmental issues and environmental laws and practice, and journalism, and the way that you see perhaps the humanities and this dimension of storytelling interacting. I mean, one of the questions that we're asking, well, the key question that we're asking in posing what is the 21st century essay is, what's the relationship between the humanities and journalism in the digital age, and focusing on environmental issues because of their urgency and relevance. And so Chasing Bela just seems like a perfect microcosm, macrocosm way of exploring how these things are intertwined.
Well, thank you. And I totally agree. I feel like stories that can take narrative storytelling technique and use it to draw readers into these really, really important policies, but which also are both difficult to understand and detailed and sometimes dry. That is the way, to my mind, to illuminate them and to bring more people into the discussion, which is really what benefits the environment and the people who are trying to make the changes and broadens the discussion so that all of the, as they would say in Michael Moore's world, the stakeholders have a say. And I think that in the case of like a Bela, and of course the other stories that do this so well, but it does make you understand that there are creatures like Bela, and there are people like Michael Moore who are spending their lives sort of working under the weight of these policies. As you know, when they work, they're saving the lives of whales like Bela, and when they don't, Bela and other whales are really suffering, at least in the view of Michael Moore, who came to the view that, in fact, it wasn't just, a death. It was, in fact, a form of torture for these whales to live with these ropes tied and just digging into their blubber and, in fact, down to bone at times.
Yeah, and I thought it was so interesting in the way that you talked about it and the way you're talking about it now that we do get drawn in through the story, and we personalize both Michael Moore, but also Bela, and that it creates this emotional context and sense of the long story to help to really reveal what's going on. And so I think that happened kind of at the conference itself, where I think by the end of your talk, we were all just enmeshed in Bela's story and pretty moved. So another aspect that I think is so interesting about the way that Chasing Bela works is how you presented it and how the Boston Globe participated in this really innovative presentation that combines this visual storytelling through this very interactive website and your narrative story and the way that it was presented online. And so I wanted to ask if you could share a little bit about the decision-making process that you went through with the Globe to present the story in this way, and how you think it connects to this question of what is the 21st century essay, how journalism is changing.
So the decision was somewhat gradual. When I first started reporting, I realized pretty soon on that there was tremendous visual possibilities, and as did the team at the Globe. There were photographs of Bela. There was video of her attempted rescue. There were photos of Michael Moore dating back to when he was in his 20s and first falling in love with whales. So there was just this pot of beautiful visual opportunities, and we all realized that there was something to be done with them. And it took time, though, to realize how to use them, because throwing it all up on the webpage isn't really the answer. The answer lies in sort of a very smart presentation, and that's what some of the really bright minds at the Globe figured out. When I'd written the story, they were able to then look at it and say, you know, this is how to do this best. And they decided, in a bit of a gamble, because it hadn't really been done before, but they decided to run the story on the left-hand side of the screen. And then on the right-hand side, they did a parallel visual story, one that you could read and scroll through and get the gist of the whole story by looking merely and purely at the photos and at the videos. And, you know, as a writer, I wondered if people would just, you know, skip the story and go right over the photos and scroll through that and get the gist of it. But it turned out that readers were interested in both. A lot of people read the story, and some people flipped over to the other side. A lot of people did both. And, it was a pretty, a step forward in some ways for digital presentation of stories. And I know that it's something that people at other papers have thought about, and it caused people to think about what exactly does digital represent. Is it words? Is it images? And can it be kind of both, which is what Bela sort of showed. And as far as the 21st century, I think it only underscores that, you know, there's all these new opportunities out there for showcasing stories like Bela, and it strengthens our ability to tell these stories when we have these additional ways of showing the story. But I think at the same time, it also shows that the strength of the story is what drives everything, and we can't let go of the notion that good, strong narrative with characters and plot and tension and, you know, emotional honesty, those things are what drive stories. And those are the bricks that we lay down, and then we build on top of that.
Yeah. So this dynamic between the press of innovation in terms of technology and format and interface in relation to, you know, the power of story and the importance of a strong narrative, deeply researched narrative. I think that's the balance that you're really articulating. Is do you find that the Globe is continuing on this path, and that you're able to keep forging that relationship with these new interfaces and ways of presenting information and engaging the reader, as well as, you know, doing this intense reporting?
I do. I feel like, you know, the Globe has been very, very dedicated to narrative writing, and even more so, again, in the age of digital, when we can showcase this work in pretty novel ways. And I feel like it's only getting better. I think that, you know, as templates for how to do this stuff get made, they can then be improved upon and amplified. And, you know, these creative minds that are thinking about this stuff are really creative, and they amaze me every time I do a story with like some new way of thinking about it. And, you know, it's really fun, frankly, to see what comes out of, you know, what you think of as sort of words on the page, and then see it visualized by these really talented people. I find it really, really exciting.
Yeah, it's really the power of collaboration. So Sarah, we need to wrap up at this point, but I wanted to ask you just one last question about your experience at the Essay in Public Conference, which was really the first event in this series that we're doing around the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Pulitzer Prizes. And I just wondered what you thought about the conference and what maybe has stuck with you or things that surprised you about anything about your experience there.
I really loved meeting people from different writing walks of life. I felt like everybody brought to the conference their own experience in telling these stories and trying to explain the world through words, but we all do it in different ways. And I found it so refreshing. Newspaper people tend to stick with newspaper people, and to meet people from academia and from other publications is totally eye-opening. And I think more newspaper people should probably, we should climb out of our shells. And at the other thing I would say is that I, having done this story, Bela, was so heartened to hear about the efforts that many are making to make science more accessible to journalists, and to know that there are these, you know, resources and people who are spending lots and lots of time and putting lots of effort into thinking about how to make scientists less scared of the likes of me, and how to connect the likes of me with them, and also to make sure that the science gets told right. I think that's great, and I was really glad to learn of those resources.
Yeah, I think the whole aspect of the relationship between journalism and science, or even narrative and science, and that science needs narrative fundamentally, I thought that was one of the interesting insights of the day. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us at the Essay in Public and also following up with this conversation today.
It's my pleasure, Elizabeth. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So listeners can learn more about the Pulitzer series and hear more podcasts at www.rihumanities.org/Pulitzer. Thank you again, Sarah.
Thank you.